Let's get ready. Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Cycle, live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Two Jersey boys from Amboy. We are excited about today. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Please remember to, we are streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Please remember to subscribe to us on YouTube with notifications for the Jersey Boys. We got a lot of things we're going to talk about. I'm sure Byron's getting ready because I'm excited about today. Today is March 31st, 2022. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Spotify. The Jersey Boys Sportscast is brought to you by our Sports Talk is brought to you by the Sportscast. Remember, we also have a Jersey Boys podcast. It's on iTunes. You're going to see what you see right there. Click on that. Please subscribe. Leave us a review. It helps us out quite a bit, especially to our friends, and pass it along. And we're going to go from there. So far, they ain't getting no guests coming in yet. So we'll be good. But you know, I have a few pieces to say to the joke, Mr. Joe Caparo. All righty. So let's get going. I want to get right into the show. Mr. Byron, welcome again. I see that you got your, just I was saying before, this, last week was the first time I've ever seen you with a shirt that did not have like an imprint on it. So you got Batman and you got your fake throwaway Bruce Arians shirt hat on. So
it's like a throwaway gun.
Yeah. What's the throwaway? You went back in the garbage can to find it? Is that what happened?
I keep telling you I have two, summer one and a winter one.
I do not believe you.
Yes, I do, though.
You're denying, and deflecting.
No, no, this time I really do. I have a winter and summer.
If you say so, I'm downloading some of the stuff you get. Okay, so look, we're going to get into, I want to get into the Arians piece, right? So that's number one. Number two, not right now. We're gonna stick to our format. We're just gonna talk about NFC East, and you did some good work. So with what you got here, so I want to download it. Number one, but you know we're gonna talk about Bruce Arians. But let me ask you a question, Byron. So you know, and I'm not getting into politics. I just want to just make a comment, right? So I don't think that's on a topic we need to discuss here. You know how. In some of the news stations, right, like Fox, for example, is predominantly pro Republican, and CNBC is predominantly pro Democrat, right? So, is there like sports shows that are like in that same kind of like one way? Because I wish Joe Capra was on this show right now because I'm about to eat him up, okay? Because I am telling you that we'll have our debates, and I love debating with Joe. And by the way, Joe, I always want to give a shout out to Joe and his show. Joe is the host of, let me get it here. What's his name of his show, Byron? You remember again? Oh, this is the wrong one.
Sports something.
Sports, here, I'll get to you right now. Sports Plus Talk.
There you go.
Sports Plus show. So I don't have all his dates and stuff, but I just wanted to pull up all your pieces here. So I got a New York Giants depth chart. I got the mock drafts. I got the NFC offensive groups. Okay, we'll bring that up in a little bit. So my only reason I'm saying to you is, and I have a clip that I wanted to, I messed it up. Shoot. All right, so the reason why I'm saying that is because Byron, I work and, I like, if I'm not on phone calls or I'm not doing stuff, I'm working. And even when I'm on phone calls, the TV's on just to keep active, right? I work out of my house or, unless I'm on the road going to client or have a networking event. So I always listen to Get Up and First Take in the morning, all the time. Those are two shows that I listen to, unless there's something else. Those are my shows, right? So when I'm debating with some of our guests and so forth, and And I've even told you some things you said. I've called you up, right? And I said, Byron, you just said the same thing. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to understand sometimes Joe's arguments, because it's almost like they just had, not today, but yesterday, they were discussing the challenges of replacing a Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Okay. And how, you know, they were like, hey, let's not forget, you know, Tyreek Hill bailed out Mahomes a lot of times. You just can't replace a player. You know what I mean? I mean, they gotta, he runs, I didn't know he runs under a 440.
Yeah, he's one of the fastest in the NFL.
Well, under 440. So I'm like, they're all talking about how difficult it is. And, you know, they did, to Joe's defense and yours as well, talk about the decision. A lot of it they would like to, but it's salary cap, right? Yes. So yep. There's no confusion. The debate on that was true and legitimate, and I'm okay with that. We were just purely saying, you know, Joe just felt it wasn't that difficult. It was like nothing to replace it, to re-kill. Right? I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? The guy can catch and run. It's not Everett Ingram, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember Nehemiah, whatever his name is, the track guy who played for
the Saints. He's a Jersey guy. Ronaldo Nehemiah, Jersey guy.
Yeah, and I liked him, but his brother can't play football.
Well, he almost got killed when he went across the field, the middle of the field. He got blown up. So
because you can run, don't mean you can play, right? So, you know, Tyreek Hill's made some good plays. So I'm like, listen to that. I'm like, okay, how is that same argument? And then the week before that, we talked about Brady's Twitter tweet. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm just saying, I started laughing. I was asking Santiago, our producer, was like, and there's sports shows that are like, you know, the CNBC and the Foxes, that are total opposite, because these guys are pretty much saying exactly what we were talking about, or what I was saying, that, you know, Tyreek Hill ain't easy to replace. I mean, you said it, that they had to design defenses to make sure you don't let him beat you.
Yep.
It's not like you do that with every receiver in the league.
No, I'm sure it's a lot of receivers, they do that.
Yeah, but he predominantly, that was, they could come back and lightning quick because of his ability to get downfield and come back to breaking plays, right? So, you know, Marcus Spears, all these guys were talking about it. Now they're talking about what they're going to do to replace. And the defense that you and him were making, yes, it's all about salary cap. I just said that the issue of the talent is the talent, right? It's not easy to replace a guy like that. I'm like, what am I missing? What are these guys listening to? So, all right, let's get into the Giants. So you gave me an updated depth chart, right?
Yeah, because they signed one more guy.
All right, so let's got it here. Let's just go to the guy that they signed, and then I'm going to share the screen. So I still have it queued up. Oh, hold on. We're going to get to good. I still got the irreplaceable get up speed on Tyreek Hill. So Joe can listen to this later if he's not listening now. Can you see that, Byron?
Yes, I can.
All right. So where is the guy?
Left guard, Max Garcia.
Show here, Max Garcia. What?
Left guard and center.
Oh, I see it. Okay, so you're not putting them in any order right now. Is that correct?
No order. But if they had to go to battle right now, that's a pretty bad line.
Okay, if they had, it's a bad line in
bad or bad in good. Bad is in, not as bad as last year, but still bad.
But why? Like last week, the left side was the only thing we were working on. No, the left side was strong. The right side was.
If I'm just saying, these guys, like the left guard, Bredesen, he was hurt a lot last year. Lemieux is coming back from a knee injury. You know, Andrew Thomas, he had surgeries on his ankle again. The right tackle, Matt Pert, you know, towards ACL, you know, toward the end of the year. So, yeah, they sign a lot of bodies because they need a lot of bodies.
They also probably sign a lot of bodies. They need them, and they got to compete, right? I mean,
Yes, that's why they're signing all these guys. You know,
they got to step up.
Well, hopefully they can, and they will. But you see the big hole they have is going to be, I think they're going to address right tackle.
They're going to draft a right tackle. All right.
Yes.
Okay, so of the depth chart right now, the only one we added was Max Garcia. Where was Max Garcia from? So this is left.
He came from Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals.
Right, so if you were to if you had to start the lineup for the Giants, who would you start at center?
Feliciano.
John Feliciano at center. That's the guy who was agreeing. Let's go to the right. Who would you start at right guard?
Gowinski.
That's a yellow, no?
Yes.
Okay. Right tackle.
You'd have to go with Matt Gonneau right now, but they're going to replace him in the draft.
All right, he's a yellow. I remember that. And then our tight end, right? At tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones,
yep.
He's a green, no?
He's a starter.
Okay, good. On left guard, what did you have there? Who would you start?
We'd have to go with this guy for now, Ben Bredesen. They got him from Baltimore Ravens last year.
Left guard, Ben Bredesen. For those that are listening, they can't hear, they can't see. And then left tackle, definitely Andrew Thomas.
Definitely, right? Andrew Thomas. And then I split up the wide receivers this week.
Yeah, I see. Okay. When you say you split up the receiver, yeah, because you had a bigger list
last week. Well, you have the receivers on the other side, the right tackle and tight end.
Oh, okay. So you have the wide receivers on one side. Yeah. And you got the tight ends ahead. Why do you have them on left and right side?
Because I split up the receivers, because before I put all the receivers on the one side. So I figured, you know, receiver number one, receiver number two.
So, okay, but wait a second. We still got a lot of receivers that are cut.
A lot of getting cut.
You know, I mean, it makes sense to keep them under one, though, because it doesn't matter if they're left or right. I can see if there were slot receivers versus.
Oh, then the guy, Richie, and then all the way to the other side, Richie James, they just signed him from San Francisco. He's a returner, and he could be the surprise of the receiving group, too. He's pretty good, but he's always hurt.
Yeah, we need Kadarius Toney to break out.
We'll see if, you know, what's more important, is rap career or playing football.
All right, well, that's a starting for our thing. I don't go too much depth into this. But all right, so we're building there, but, you know, we still need help. The comparison, you know, if we get a chance, is don't do the whole thing because it's a pain. Like, who are the NFC, teams, what are their offenses looking like? Because that's who we play the most, right?
So right.
What are their offensive lines look like? I just want to go line to line, right?
Did I put that on there too?
Where?
On the bottom. Or either the other thing I sent you.
Yeah, that's probably on the – oh, you got it on offenses. Okay, we're going to look at it next. Okay, good. All right, so all right, that's good. That's our depth chart. And then then we should just go into
– comparisons.
Into the NFC offense, right?
Or draft, or either, or it doesn't matter.
Well, let's go to the NFC offenses because I think that'll give me what I was asking for. Right. All righty. So
there you go. On the bottom. NFC. Well, and we could do running backs together because I forgot to put that one on there.
All right, no worries. I ended up moving. Okay. So let's go here. We're at home. Insert that to close. All right. So we're in the mock draft, right?
No.
NFC offense.
Keep going. That right there. NFC quarterback rankings right now.
Man, oh my God. Okay. You got Dallas Cowboys, obviously Dak Prescott. I would agree he's number one.
I'd put Daniel Jones number two.
I would put Jalen Hurts over Daniel Jones. And I would only don't. And okay, so what we got for your listeners is we got Dallas Cowboys. We got obviously Dak Prescott. This is a QB ranking NFC East. Dak Prescott, he has Daniel Jones 2, Jalen Hurts 3, and Carson Wentz 4. I would probably switch Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. I'd have Daniel Jones at 3 and Jalen Hurts as 2. And Carson Wentz is just – He's got talent, but he's just –
He's a little soft in the locker room. That's his problem.
Something's wrong with that. Okay, so that's interesting. I'm surprised you don't have Daniel Jones as 1. All right, so
–
wide receivers and tight ends. Yep, Cowboys again, 1. You got the Eagles. That's pretty funny. You got Giants and last in wide receivers and tight ends.
And you want to know why? Because they're always hurt.
You got the quarterback 2.
I believe in Daniel Jones. That's why I put him 2.
My man, you got something.
And the Giants receivers would be up higher if they weren't hurt all the time. All of them.
I think you got a man crush. No, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, okay.
So your receivers and tight ends are pretty much close to what I would pick. I would give Daniel Jones overall, but with a 4th receiving crew. But that receiving crew, like you said, if they're not hurt, they would be at least 3, which would rank into where I'm talking about. Daniel Jones would be 3rd quarterback ranked, but that's our difference there. Offensive lines. Wow. So Philly's line is better than the Cowboys?
Yes.
Really?
You got Lane Johnson, right tackle, all pro. Kelsey is very good. Jason Kelsey, his brother. Jason.
Oh, really? That's right. I thought he had 100.
No, he was going to retire, and he signed for 1 more year.
Oh, because I remember they put him in just to start, and then they took him right out. Broke the record or something.
He for most games played or whatever. And then Dickerson, the kid.
Most games started.
Then they have Dickerson, the kid from Alabama, the one that hurt his knee in the championship. Well, before the championship game, he's one of the guards. And then they got the biggest left tackle probably in the league, this kid, Mamea, whatever his name is. The kid, he's like 6'9", like 350. And he was a rugby player in Australia. And he was a 7th-round pick, and now he's one of the premier left tackles and all of that. He is huge.
He's Australian?
Yeah, he's Australian. And he is huge.
Ain't too many Aussies in the league, I don't think.
There's a couple, but he's a big one.
That's a big guy. Okay, so, look, for me, logically, this don't make any sense.
Why?
Right? Because again – how do you have the quarterback 2 with the worst offensive, with the worst receiving group and the worst offensive line?
Well, how does it go? It's almost impossible. It's not impossible. Daniel Jones is going to be a star. I keep telling you that. I'm going to stick with my guns.
The offensive line ranking, I can't really comment on it other than the fact that I know that the Giants are the worst. Right. I would assume the Cowboys was a little better than 2, but okay, 2 isn't bad. Right.
And you figure the Cowboys lost a lot of guys. Right tackle, Collins. I think they lost a guard. They still have, Tyron Smith. They still have the other all pro, Zach Martin. They still have him and the centers. But, they got like half a line is good, but the other side, no.
Got it. So
this is bad, even worse than ours.
Well, then I guess the Eagles rise. Because they get this 7-round player that now can be a premier tackle, right? That's pretty good. If you get a 7th-round tackle that's becoming really good, that was a good pick.
Well, put it this way, he was so good. He was good enough that he beat out the 1st-round pick that they have, they've had. I forgot what the kid's name, about 3 or 4 years ago. He was the 1st-round pick, the left tackle, and this guy beat him out for the job, and now this guy's going to be looking for a job or whatever. He's good.
That's awesome. Okay, so
and then we need here. This is where you need to get the typing. We need to put in the running backs.
Now I got to get the typing.
Right. Yeah, get the typing. Yeah. NFC East. There you go. Yeah, they copy and paste. And,
exactly.
Change that to the running backs. Oh, no, you fat fingered everything like usual.
Yeah. Okay, I'm typing running backs ranking. All right.
Right.
All right. So
number one, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you do things a little bit different than I do.
Not true?
No, it's not that. It's just that you like typing and when you just do that. No, okay. The Cowboys, I would agree.
Because they got Pollard and Zeke.
That's the reason I was going to say it wasn't just because of Zeke. It's because of they got Pollard in addition. All right, number two. Number two.
Eagles, because Miles Sanders and the group of running backs they have. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Howard. They got three good ones.
I'm still totally, it has no, it makes no sense. You haven't
done here we go.
Right, number see. Three's got to be Washington.
Because, they got Antonio Gibson. They got a good running back. But we still have Saquon. I'm going to put the Giants three.
Yeah, I like Saquon, man. If you could stay.
Stay healthy.
I'd like to see him have a full season, man.
We'll put the Washington Commanders there, you know, because we can't. Because
they're the only ones left.
I know.
All right. So, all right. I'm only just long. I'm just telling you right now that the only thing to help you save grace on that pick of Daniel Jones is if those other areas of the offensive line come to play. All right. So you got
how's it go? Where I'm projecting what he's going to be like, and he's going to be a lot better. The line is a work in progress. The receiver's not can't be hurt all the time, and Saquon same thing with him. He can't be hurt, and he has to perform.
Right.
Projection right. So, for Daniel.
But just theoretically, let's say things going into the season and say, hell, but they don't get hurt. Unfortunately, it's terrible, right? So if the receiving core of the Giants, let's say they're healthy all year long, would you still rank them four?
No, we're going to move them up then. Because on paper, I would move them all the way up to two.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay. And then if the running, if Zeke is healthy, well, if Zeke is healthy, he's playing up there. He's going to be up there between at least number two. Okay. What's this mock draft pick compared to the draft pick you have later?
This is just, I just split it up, you know, because I know we got like Jet fans, you know. And,
right. Oh, so this Washington. This is the first round.
This is the first round.
All right. So we're looking at this Mississippi State guy. Okay. I like him.
Yes.
Trayvon at number seven. That's if they don't mess around with my picks. So look at this is 4, 5, 7, 10, 11. Let me tell you, the NFC East got a lot of first-round picks, man.
And if you notice, and I'm sure, Santiago, I put, like, the Cowboys – not the Cowboys, I mean the Eagles picking two corners because usually the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to – one of those three first-round picks, they're going to trade one of those picks before, you know, either during the draft or after. So they're going to draft a corner. But, you know, I just put that on there, you know, because they're going to – you know, they're going to trade one of those picks. And then that's the guard there that he can play either guard or tackle for the Cowboys, Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. And I figured since he's a Texas guy that if he's available, that, you know, what's his name, Jerry Jones is going to, you know, snag this guy up.
Well, let me tell you, that's seven first-round picks for the NFC East. That's pretty good. That's also how bad we did. All right. Let's see what happens. I just want, you know, we got to get that line. I mean, that's the bottom line. Bottom line is the line. All righty. And then
how long have I been telling you that?
For the last 2 years.
Okay. I was just checking.
And you remind me every week.
Yes, and I'm going to keep doing it, though.
So don't say you're just checking. You want to hear it again. Say,
I
just want to hear it again. All right. So what we got here? All right. So we got the mock draft. This is the order you feel they're going to go. Interesting. Yep. So I just want to see because I don't want to go through all this. For those that can't see it, we got a mock draft. He has. I just want to see who's going interesting what's going to happen this year, right? So we got an edge rusher. So defense, edge rusher, offense. Ooh, this kid from Liberty. Oh, that's the guy, Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the guy that Caprero said that we should probably get if we can get him?
Yep.
Out of Liberty. Okay. And then you got it. So that's one quarterback. Okay. All right. We got another quarterback there.
Kenny Pickett. He's a Jersey kid, Ocean Township.
Okay. Good. Let's go. Good. Kenny Pickett. And he goes to Pittsburgh. Who just went to Pittsburgh, though? Oh, it was the Flores, was coach. Okay. Cornerback, wide receiver. All right. Florida State. Okay.
Got there goes another one. You're Georgia guys.
Georgia boy, LSU.
Utah, Georgia guy.
Georgia, Ohio, Clemson, receiver. Wow. Not a lot of quarterbacks in this year's pick.
Keep all the way to the bottom. Number 32.
Matt Kern. There's only one. I think you got three.
Three. Yep.
Two, three. That's low for compared to what it's been in the last few years, no?
This year, like they've been saying, this year is not a good year for, quarterback. It's next year that, all them quarterbacks that they're screaming about. But the number one pick for next year, I'm going to already say it now, is going to be Will Anderson, linebacker from Alabama.
Will Anderson. Why is that? But the name sounds familiar just in general.
He's a beast, man. He's the best. He might even win the Heisman. I may even predict him to win the Heisman as a linebacker. He's that good.
Yeah, I think.
He's that good. Look him up.
I believe you, but I'm just saying it ain't gonna happen. Just because when was the last time a defensive player won?
Charles was a Woodson, I think.
Yeah. Was it Woodson? Yeah.
Well, this kid. Yeah, is that
Woodson. Good. But it was also Woodson was also a multi-purpose player too, right?
Yeah, well, they robbed Peyton Manning that year.
They robbed.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was up too.
I remember that. Okay, good. I just checking my piece what we have here. All right. Well, it's pretty good. We'll see how it goes. But for those of you that are listening or you're watching here, make sure you get on YouTube so you can see the screen. And you can see some of the mock draft Byron put together, and that may help you in your fantasy leagues. All righty. So now I just want to hold on a second. I want to just see if I got to hit share, and then I want to hit sound, and then let me know if you could hear this. Okay. All right. Tell me if you can hear this.
This be good. The middle of that field was so wide open.
Can you hear
Travis
it?
Tyreek Hill could take the top off. And people were terrified of him getting the ball in his hands. Please let Valdez, Scanlon, and Juju help in that regard so we can still have a explosive offense. And Patrick can sometimes go YOLO and just throw that thing anywhere and one of these dudes make a play. Please, Lord.
So that's what he's saying that Andy Reid is saying with the loss of Tyreek Hill, that, Tyreek Hill, by spreading out, helped Kelsey, right? And it goes back to what I was saying. It's, you can't think just replacing a guy like a Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry. You're not going to do it, I think eventually can you adjust your offense and get some speedster and so forth, but – come on, Byron. You the guy produced, right? I mean, you can't.
He produced. He produced, which led him to get paid, and Kansas City determined, felt they couldn't pay him and Patrick. So that's what happens now with the salary cap.
No, they did say that, but the argument was you can't just, you could replace his production. I guess my piece was there. All righty. So now, any news? Dallas has been quiet. So I think Jerry Jones settled his suit. He gave his kid some money.
What, the baby mama?
The baby mama's daughter.
I didn't hear anything up here.
It's kind of quiet.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Kind of quiet. So
I wonder why.
Yeah, everything's quiet in Dallas. And usually, when everything's quiet in Dallas, that I think usually there's an issue.
Well, put it this way: if Skip Bayless is not blasting it all over the TV when he's on every day, then yeah, it's pretty quiet because he knows everything.
Yeah. So
Dallas related.
I just think I think Jerry, because you know Jerry likes to be, you know, some of the reasons why about Dallas, besides because of its past history and so forth. You know, Jerry is, you know, they said it, he's the ultimate businessman marketer. So he likes being in the news. He likes making sure the Dallas Cowboys are always in the news. But I think that his being quiet is just trying to keep things off of his personal piece, right? He's trying to stay away from that. And I think they got a lot of issues. They got more issues than people know about.
Well, you see, they passed on signing Bobby Wagner, the linebacker from Seattle Seahawks. He ended up signing with the Rams today. $65 million, 5 years.
How did Rams, where are Rams finding money to keep signing someone that big? Like, didn't they just blow all their money? I thought they have no picks until 2022, right?
Oh, well.
Until after 2022, and then how do they get the money to sign a guy like that? So that's interesting.
Because they don't have to worry about playing Von Miller. He left. That's Von Miller money.
Got you. And then any happening with Philly? Philly.
No, it's all good in Philly, you know, basketball season, you know, around here, football, and, you know, they're starting to heat up with the draft around here. So, you know, they're not hot on getting rid of Jalen Hurts. That's the one thing right here.
All right. I think he deserves a shot. I think he's done pretty well while he was there.
He was in the Pro Bowl last year.
Oh, then shoot. And then how about our Commanders?
Nothing.
NFC East globally is pretty quiet. Like, we're used to our teams being quiet. I was not used to Dallas being quiet. All right, so that's finishing there. So now, let's get to the big news, baby. Let's get to the big news. Look, when Brady retired, you guys gave me a lot of crap, right? Or when he unretired.
I gotta take my hat off for this one.
When Brady unretired, one of the comments I made 2 weeks ago was, the only thing that's confusing to me is that they were saying how the relationship between him and Arians had soured, remember? And I was saying because the report was that, you know, Arians was icing his Achilles or something to that degree, and Leftwich and Brady were game planning, you know, and then Arians would just come in and redline everything. Right?
He's being a CEO, but go on.
Okay, yeah, that was your whole argument. He's CEO. We saw how far that CEO goes. So I can see, you know, that bothering a guy that's a worker like Brady. I can see that bothering a Byron Leftwich. I mean, he's your offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, Byron's good. That was a discussion. I said, you don't hear that part. So I'm just, you know, say that statement and then come back. So, man, when I woke up this morning and I see Bruce Arians is leaving the position as the head coach, and I'm happy for Bowles, right? Tom Bowles, right? Bowles. And I
Jersey
was like,
guy from Jersey guy from Elizabeth.
Man, I am not surprised in that move. I'm not surprised. And I'm telling you, I don't think Brady dictated it. But I'm telling you, he has some kind of something in there. I'm just telling you, that's my opinion. Because to make that tweet and then now have the defensive coordinator who is really good, do you agree? Because we like both of them. I'm going to take either one of those guys from the Giants. Right. And I would have taken. And the other thing is Leftwich didn't even want to deal with his own Jaguars. Right. But I think they knew something was coming. And I think when they figured out they were going to bring it back, they made a decision to say Leftwich. I bet you Leftwich had something to say. And Bowles. So, you know, hey, I'm happy for Bowles, because now we
New
got
Jersey a, guy from Elizabeth.
We got a minority head coach with the most minority assistant coaches in the league. Now it starts, right? That organization, something doesn't happen from that tree, right? There's a problem, because, you know, it's one thing coach is a minority head coach, but he doesn't have as many minority assistant coaches, right? Now you got the minority head coach with a lot of minority coaches, including women, right? And I think it's a good thing. And I like, and again, here's my other argument to Capraro when he comes back on is, that's exactly the perfect example of why I think it makes a difference depending on the type of team and who you have, that the fact that Bowles is a defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach, right? And Leftwich is still the offensive. They went 13-4 and they put up numbers. And he put up numbers with Winston. So it wasn't like, you know, he may have thrown interceptions, but he put up 30 touchdowns, okay? Now Leftwich and Brady are going to be left to their own to do their game plan. Why? Because it's harder to make decisions inside of, or have too much of an opinion on the offensive side if you're a defensive coach. That's why, to me, it does make a difference based on your team. So go ahead.
You want me to break it down? So here, let me break this down. I'm going to break it down. Okay, wait, I'm going to do one of your numbers. Number one.
CEO's out, right?
No. Let me finish. I'm going to cover that too. Number one. Back in the day in the 50s, you're a young buck. When the Giants had the head coach, was his name, Jim Lee Howell, that was the head coach. Do you know who was on his staff?
Arians?
No. Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi. Tom Landry was in charge, I think, the defense.
That's right.
Don't interrupt now. All right. You had those two guys were on his staff. What do you think Jim Lee Howe did all week long? He let them put in the game plans, right? So what's wrong with the guy being the overall CEO of the team? And as long as he has a good offensive coordinator and a good defensive coordinator, then everything is all good. It's all good.
Okay, I agree with that.
All great coaches are like that. Barry Switzer.
Like, time out, but what you're not saying
is
what the topic was. This guy let his people do his stuff and he oversaw it, made sure it was running smooth.
And I'm sure he did.
And he had two Hall of Fame coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there wasn't much media back there. But what you're not saying is, you know, and nobody, you know, back then it was really such a tight-knit NFL that nothing leaked. But, you know, you got to give me the comparison for the argument has to be that he still would redline Landry and.
That's what he's supposed to do as a head coach. That's his job.
Not to the point that it bothers your superstar player. Offensive coordinator. I mean, I think
put it this way.
Jones, you're too meddlesome.
If it bothered them that much, Leftwich could have taken a job with the Jaguars and Tom Brady could have stayed home if they knew Bruce Arians was still going to be there. That solved the whole problem. If they were that upset, he could have took the job with Jaguars and the other guy could have stayed home instead of, you know, retiring after 40 days.
All right, but I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead. But that's my whole argument. Go ahead. What's number two?
And then number two, the reason why Arians did what he did, he chose to focus on this is what Bruce Arians did. He wanted succession as far as who was going to be the next coach. He felt that Todd Bowles, that's his guy, all the way back when he coached him at Temple. He's known this guy from, you know, when he was a high school coming, college guy. He's known him that long. He wanted Todd Bowles to be in a position to succeed on this team, not leave this team and go to some crappy team, some awful team. He wanted all the pieces were in place for him to succeed in Tampa Bay. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's why he left. You can go ahead now.
I'm going to go back to, I am telling you that the report was that it bothered Brady. It's just Leftwich as coaches. They're not going to be vocal about it, especially when they still working for that boss. Brady, he has the ability to say whatever he wants. He also said a lot of nice things about Arians as he left in Brady, style, right? Okay, but it bothered him, right? And that was one of the reasons, maybe, the hell with this. I'm not going to bust, I'm outworking the coach. right? And that's where they're trying to put the comparisons between him being a little bit loose and Brady being more disciplinary. I mean, think about it. You heard the stories. Arians was letting Brady take, you know, not even practicing, letting him watch the team couldn't do some coaching.
Well, and what's wrong with that? He's a 45-year-old court. He doesn't need all the reps.
There's nothing. Why do you think I'm making a statement has anything to do wrong with that? I'm saying to you that there is respect there enough to be able to let him do some of that. But right, then right, there's got to be a point when you and Leftwich are putting up numbers and doing your stuff, and you're icing your Achilles heel, and they want to come in and just, you know, they're putting in all this work and just over redlining it. It bothered him. And I'm telling you that there is something there.
What's wrong with him? He's the head coach. He's the head coach. He's the head coach. He's supposed to oversee all this stuff.
Bottom line is Tom Brady back?
Of course.
Okay. Is the CEO out?
By his choice.
That's not what I asked.
I'm just saying that's my answer. He chose to step down.
Brady's choice was to come back too. Is Brady back? Yes. Is the CEO that you said is not out? Yes. Was Brady the one complaining about that CEO about how he was messing with him and Leftwich's piece? Yes. And I believe Bowles and Leftwich get along very well.
Let me tell you something about this here. Okay. When you're the defensive coordinator, you don't really mess with the offense. You really don't interact with those guys over there. You have your own separate meetings, your own separate, your own separate thing going on. You don't have a clue what's going on over there until you go out on a practice field. So the only reason, Todd Bowles really interacted with, Tom Brady is because when he was the head coach of the Jets, and he had the game plan for this guy. That's probably really the only time he really, had, Tom Brady, I got to do this, I got to do that. But you're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I'm just telling you that they are going to light. I told you they're going to win the NFC East. The NFC West.
South
when he came back. And now they are going to light it up. Because I think now it's going to be Leftwich and Brady.
They lost
their game.
They lost both of their guards. The only guy they re-signed was the center, Jensen. They signed him. They have the right tackle, Wirtz, the left tackle. But where does Tom Brady have most of the problems? Where's most of his problems at?
Up the middle.
Guess what's the weakest part of the line right now?
The guards.
They're not going to light it up the way you think.
Okay, we'll see. But I'm writing that down. I'm going to light it up. They're going to light it up. They got Godwin back. They got this. Gronk is going to re-sign. I'm telling you, he's going to draw more players to him again. I'm telling you, people are going to want to play for Bowles.
What was Bowles' record with the Jets?
It's the Jets.
I'm just asking you a question. What was it? He's still. I'm not, I want to see the guy to succeed. He was 24-40 with the New York Jets.
Okay, it's the Jets.
And then he goes to Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians, and he has resurrected his career being the defensive genius now. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Arians stepped aside to take a front office job to make sure that Todd Bowles gets a good team. That's what he did.
Okay, so Todd Bowles has a good team, right? Number one, he has a really good offensive coordinator, right? With a Hall of Fame quarterback. So all I'm saying to you is, I am telling you, they're in position. I still think they should have beat the thing.
Have they replaced Sue? They haven't replaced the guys on defense. Jason Pierre-Paul is still a free agent.
I guarantee he resigns now.
Nah.
Yeah, he's going to resign.
He wants to get paid.
Especially if his head coach is defensive coordinator, he's going to resign.
Nah.
We'll see. Hey, okay. What was Rex Ryan's record with the Jets?
Offhand, I don't know. What was it?
46-50.
It was better than 24-40.
A losing record, bro. I don't care how you look at it. It's a losing record. Okay, 26.
I'm going to put it out there like this. Bruce
Arians had to go.
Bruce Arians has always been an advocate for the African American coaches in the league since he's, you know, in the NFL and college. And he's always been an advocate, you know, as far as, you know, with the staffs he's always had. And I'm thinking, he's 69 years old. He's probably, he says he's in good health. You know, I want to be in good health. Huh?
How old is he?
69.
69? With the six?
6'9"
No way.
Yeah, Bruce Arians is 69 years old.
No, that I know. I thought you said, how old is Bowles?
Bowles is like 50, so like 58. He's in his 50s, Bowles. But I'm just saying he's always been an advocate, and there's nothing wrong with what he did, you know, as far as stepping aside or whatever you want to call it, to make sure that Todd Bowles succeed in his second go-round with a head coaching game. That's what he did, and that's what I'm going to stick with.
Questions behind Bruce Arians' retire as Tampa Bay coach in favor of Todd Bowles. And one of the questions is, did Brady have any? The questions are up there. Tom Brady just unretired. So how does that factor in? Think about it. Why would a guy unretire and then lose and be okay with losing the head coach? I mean, I'm just saying. That doesn't happen. I guarantee you that Aaron Rodgers is pissed off because Devontae left, but he screwed him.
Tom Brady has a lot of juice. I don't think he got that kind of juice.
I don't think he has the juice to have the overall factor in that was it. But I think that in that decision, he was a component of that decision.
And the other thing about Tampa Bay, you know, the ownership with them, they've hired more African-American head coaches than anybody in the league. Head coaches. Yeah, who do they have? They have Tony Dungy, right? They had Lovie Smith. Now they got Todd Bowles, and I think it was somebody else. That'd be like four of them. But was it Rushy Morris? Was a temporary coach, I think. But they're not the kind of team that does stuff like that. Well, the ownership, the Glazers. So, you can go ahead with your theory that Tom Brady has something to do. He's not Michael Jordan. You know, it comes with personnel decisions.
What are you talking about? Michael Jordan couldn't keep Phil Jackson.
A lot of those guys that were surrounding Michael Jordan, I'm sure he had a lot to say about.
You didn't keep Phil Jackson. He didn't get Pippen paid.
And what happened with Phil Jackson though? He left, right? He left on his own. Right?
No.
He didn't get fired. He left on his own. Him and Jerry Krause. Was it Krause? Him and Jerry Krause.
Told him this is your last year. That's it.
And okay.
So he got fired.
Well, Bruce Arians left on his own.
I understand that. But ironically, my conversation 2 weeks ago was all about the fact that Brady didn't like how much Leftwich and him put in work in the game plan, and Arians would come in after coming out of a friggin' ice tub to then change all of that stuff. I think that somewhere along the line, there was a factor in there. Arians is talking about, hey, it made it easier for him to retire when Brady came back because it's leaving the team in a lot better position.
And what was the other thing he said? You're leaving stuff out now. What was the other thing he said?
Something about Bowles.
Yeah, that he's leaving.
Or Bowles.
He wants Bowles to succeed on a good team. He doesn't want him to leave and go to a crappy team and not succeed.
I'm with you on all of that. I'm not denying that piece.
There's nothing wrong with a
coach. Of 100%, right? There's a point from 1% all the way to 100. Okay, are you telling me there's not any percentage points of Arians retiring, right, and Brady unretired?
Ain't got nothing to do with it.
All right.
Dude, he's still, but he's like, he's going to be in the front office. He's still going to be there.
I understand.
It's not like he's retiring from coaching. He's going to be in the front office. He's still going to be there.
He's going to be just a picture of he's won a Super Bowl. He's won, done, he's done a great job for Tampa. He's going to be there, but he's just going to be, you know, his title is going to be title of whatever.
You know what he's going to be like? Bill Parcells. What did Parcells do? He left the team and then he went and just sat there and behind the curtain.
I don't know, but I'm happy.
Oh, but why? That wasn't right, man.
I'm happy. I'm happy. Bro, you threw the hat away. You got some respect right for him.
I'm good, man.
You threw the hat away because you lost respect for Arians.
So I think he did. I love the things that Bruce Arians has done, you know, in the NFL. You know, every place he's been, you know, he's been a winner.
I'm telling you, the reason why I'm happy is because I wanted some closure to how do you go back to the team when you also complained about what was happening when you were planning with your offensive coordinator and you were upset with that relationship with Bruce Arians and that never came to light. That's it. So
man, you don't think alone
because I couldn't argue that.
You don't think
Arians retires? I'm like, ah.
You don't think?
Hold on. The other reason I'm happy is because I like Bowles. I think that's a good choice. I think I am telling you now, Leftwich will be a head coach after this season.
Where?
I don't care. I don't know. Don't matter.
Yeah, he's gonna. You know where he's gonna end up? He's gonna end up a crappy team, like they all do. That's what happened.
I understand that, bro. But that was I can't control that piece, right? You know, like, yeah. I'm just saying to you that Leftwich is gonna be a head coach.
Yeah, of course he's up. Yes, yeah, he without a doubt.
And they're gonna light it up. This is like almost to the degree of, I mean, when Peyton was coming to the line, just calling plays, going down the field. I mean, he was literally calling all his plays.
Okay, all right. Here, fast forward. When Brady was with the Patriots, do you think he complained like this and did the same thing with Belichick and Josh McDaniels?
I don't think so, but I also know that Belichick wasn't really off. He's not an offensive coach. He's a defensive coach.
But you don't think he had some input on what was going on with the offense?
You know, he's a head coach. You're going to have input, but
Belichick. Oh, there you go. I got back to where we were. You just said it right there.
So you know, it's totally
yes, you did. Woo! Yes, you
did. There is a total difference.
What's the total?
Having input and micromanaging. For Brady to be upset to what he did, Arians had to be micromanaging the plan that Leftwich and him were putting together.
And that's his job. That's what
not he, to micro not the, to micromanage.
But you don't think Belichick did the same thing with the Patriots?
Not with the offense.
Really?
Nope. Yep.
I got his. Dude, he knows. I got a book right here. He knows more about offense than you think he does.
Well, he has to because he has
trust
to prepare.
Me, he does.
He has to because he has to prepare against it. Right? There's a big difference of knowing the offense to defend against what you're going to come at me with, as opposed to
talking about. We're not talking about the same thing. Think about it.
He knows offense. I don't think he meddled as much with his offensive coordinator.
Really. I got the book right here that says he did.
What does it say?
Next time, the book's a big old thick book.
But don't make references to stuff that you can't find.
I can repeat
books I read 20 years ago.
This is a brand new book.
So how can you tell me it's in the book?
It's in the book. Trust me, it's in the book, man. Read it cover to cover.
I am. So then read it cover to cover. Give me the gist of where he got involved in the office.
We ain't got that kind of time for all that.
That's because you can't remember.
Or this one here. There you go. Another one right there. There you go. He meddled in offense and defense. He had his hands in both.
I understand that, but I am telling you that you made the comment the other day, one of our shows where I said, you know, Belichick's tree is terrible and this and that. And that's because he doesn't care about whether those guys, or Andre even mentioned it, right? He doesn't care about how he's developing these players to be the next level coaches. He cares about them being great at their positions, right? So if that's true, then he's letting them do their positions or he gets rid of them, right? I am just telling you, to the degree of meddling in the offensive game plan, right, is totally not even, I guarantee you, I mean, yeah, Arians is the quarterback whisperer, so he's going to have a comment way more than a defensive coach.
He just answered the question again.
Yeah, but he didn't whisper to Brady. Brady was a great coach. He didn't need to whisper. Brady came and did what he did. I mean, it wasn't like there ain't no whispering there. The only thing he did that I liked is that he called everybody out, and it didn't matter, and Brady had to deal with it. I'm okay with that.
And he couldn't deal with that.
Yeah, he didn't like that either. He took him to Super Bowl.
But he still didn't like what was going on.
I think he didn't like about – the only thing I heard is he didn't like about the game plan, right? And what they are saying is, you know, he was – you know, Brady's a lot more zoned in, focused as it comes to discipline and preparation for the game. And he doesn't like that horse playing around as much. And but remember, to his defense, he was groomed for 20 years now.
Right? So kind of – By who?
Belichick.
Okay. Defensive guy.
Right. But that was the organization was going there, right? It's no different than being, you know, the police divisions being more militant than the others, right? They're groomed that way, right? So anyways, I'm happy with today. I'm happy for Bowles. I'm happy for the Tampa Bay organization. I'm happy particularly now, you know, let's see who are they going to hire. Who do you think they're going to hire as a defensive coordinator?
Probably keep that job since it's so late, or either promote somebody that's on the staff now.
Okay, well, it'd be nice if you promote another minority, right?
Forget the other flip flam that the NFL comes up with. You know how they always end up hiring offensive coaches, you know, as far as with the minority thing and all, you know, with the Rooney Rule, and that's how these guys get all these jobs, like usual. Where they change it now, where the you have to have a female or an African-American or whatever minority on the offensive staff. Huh?
Well, on the offensive staff.
On the offensive staff, at least one.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, okay, so one last time before we finish this up. All right, so you knew today was going to be, I told the client of mine, shout out to one of my clients that's Brady, went to Michigan. She also is a Harvard grad. Company's name is Nitrix, and she's a big Brady fan. So I told today you may want to tune in because you know I'm coming. We're going to be talking about the Brady situation and the Arians situation. Let's wrap this up with: did you hear about the new overtime rule in the playoffs?
Yeah, for the crybabies.
That's what everybody's saying. The D, like Marcus Spears, I like him. You know, he's like, you know, I don't get it. How can you have 11 guys and let someone come all the way down the field in one possession and score? That's it. Game's over. So the new rules for our fans is only in the playoffs, because they wanted to see Allen get the ball. They didn't like that Mahomes lost with Brady getting the ball once. And, you know, so Mahomes was the benefactor and Mahomes was the whatever, the non-benefactor of the overtime rules. What the new overtime rule is even before it was is if you score 3 points, the other team gets a chance to come back and score either 3 points or a touchdown. And what the rule is now is that the first team to score a touchdown, right, doesn't win the game in the playoffs. The other team gets a chance to come back and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, but you got to admit, there was a lot of playoff games that were all won by 3 points, right? But they're also won by 3 points. But I just think that I'm not a fan of that rule. I mean, obviously you want, you know, what would happen if he got the ball back and this and that, but I think that takes a tax on the players, right? I mean,
stop them.
I know, but you got to stop after your team. You couldn't stop them. They should win. I don't like that rule. I don't like that rule. I think if you're able to score a touchdown on like a possession, I mean, they can barely score a touchdown all game. You're able to score a touchdown in the last one possession.
Probably not.
What's that?
Probably not.
Well, the game's going to be longer, number one. And number two, I just want to see what you thought about that rule. So I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, can I say that this year's playoffs left you wanting more? You know, yes. But there was other things that were leading up to that game that those teams winning by 3 points shouldn't have been in those positions to win by 3 points, right? So that overtime, you know, I don't like it. I think it was all because of, you said, the crybabies, right? The ones that said, you know, because a lot of the games were very good and close in shootouts, but it was also, I think that the game that really turned the tilt was the Buffalo-Kansas City game. Would you agree?
Yep.
When they were coming back and forth, just gunslinging. I mean, they were going shot for shot on that one, right?
Casey put it to bed.
Casey could have put it nice and good night, baby. So anyways, I don't like the rule. Do you like it? You don't like it. Which one is it?
I'm a defensive guy. You know, my job is to stop him. If I can't stop him, then you deserve to lose.
Okay, good. So I'm a defensive guy. I guess this is probably the same thing. And Marcus Spears is a defensive guy. So maybe it's a defensive guy's mentality. But as a sports fan too, I mean, you know, you can't stop the offense from scoring in critical moments, right? You deserve to lose.
Yes.
So the bottom line is, like, you know, because the offense, they can be going back and forth scoring 40 points and 40 points and 40 points and 40 points, and you're not doing your job because everybody's scoring points. But when the time clock gets real short, you got to show up.
Yep.
Because if your team put up 40 points and you lose,
man, and that's on you.
That's on you. You know, if you put up 40 points and you win, that was thankful for the offense. You won it in the last minutes, you know? So anyways, but that's the new rule. I just heard it today and I was like, oh man, I knew they were going to change something. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Well, my report, everybody was in San Diego. Everybody knew I was going to be fired up for today's show.
I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm happy for the head coach. Well, I'm happy. Come on.
Just remember, the best thing about it, Todd Bowles is a New Jersey guy, Elizabeth High School. That's all that matters.
Oh, really? He went to Elizabeth. So he's close to your – that means he was around when we were playing.
Yeah, he was. And went to Temple.
What position did he play?
Safety.
See, I like him even more, baby.
Yeah, okay. We'll see at the end of the season.
They're going to light it up, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, they're going to light it up. All right, well, we're about to wrap up the show. I'm just trying to get my system up and running here to be able to give her a last piece. Eddie, thank God we haven't gone through too many deaths. So there was a period, I think we had a show every week.
Yeah, well, every week it was getting bad.
I was depressed, man. It was terrible. Oh,
shout out to Glenn Richardson, his birthday, 60th birthday.
Happy birthday, Glenn. Howard grad, great family. Happy birthday, Glenn Richardson. All-stater from Perth Amboy, New Jersey. So, all right. So let me go. And I got to scroll all the way down because that long text you sent me.
I didn't send you a long text. I sent emails.
I have to undo it. Yeah, I know, because you can't put it in the Google Drive. All right. So look, freedom, security are precious gifts that we as Americans should never take for granted. We must do all we can to extend our hand in time of need to those who willingly sacrifice each day to provide that freedom and security. While we can never do enough to show our gratitude to our nation's defenders, we can always do a little more. Gary Sinise. Gary Sinise Foundation. Please, it helps out our first responders. It helps out our military. Anything you do can help us out there. You know, a lot of craziness happening in the world. Remember, tune in next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. for the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I also have my YouTube channel, Victor Rocho. I've been doing podcasts now several times a week. Overall on business, on an organization that I'm a chapter president for the East Coast. So please go to YouTube, look up Victor Rocho and subscribe there. You'll be able to get some other tidbits and some other things that I'm doing. Follow us. Please download, go to your iTunes store and go to podcast and look for the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Byron, as always, it was you do today. I can't believe you still have, I think you don't have two hats. Why do you have two hats? One was for winter, one was that?
I can tell you winter and summer. They're different styles.
So you threw the summer one away.
No, yeah, it did. Yeah, that one's gone. This is the winter one.
You know, it's summer's coming pretty soon. So
yeah, I gotta get it. I get another.
All right, well, this is good. We got the draft coming up April 28th, and hopefully we'll be live from Il Toscano restaurant here in Pembroke Pines. Shout out to Il Toscano and Marion Nunez, who's the owner, and his family. Excellent Sicilian Italian restaurant. It's actually very, really good. You know, and I say not when I say actually, it's good
for you. Is it really good?
It's
Don't say nothing crazy. Say yes. It's better than Jersey. Say it.
I can't say. When you get to fine dining food, it's hard to like have too much of a comparison, right?
Okay.
What is easier to compare is like the pizza or the calzones or the, you know, that kind of stuff, right? But when you get to fine dining, you know, it gets a little harder, you know. It's not a steak joint, but it's an Italian restaurant. They make great Italian food. I had there was really good. I haven't had anything I didn't like.
Okay.
But it's like fine dining, and then, you know, it's just hard. You know, fine dining is just either good or it's not good, right? I like Morton's Steakhouse. I don't know if you like Morton's.
I hate Morton's Steakhouse, man. It's expensive. Woo, man. Ooh, I spent a fortune in there.
Okay, so this says you hate them because they're you hate them because you don't like the food.
I did not like what they served. It was not very good.
And then I can tell you this, though. Morton's down here are excellent, but I've been to a Morton's in another state, and it was terrible, right? So, you know, it's the same situation there. Yeah, it's a little bit pricey, but it's good. You know, we took our son out for his birthday and it was... And it was expensive, but it was really, really good.
I'm retired, man. Come on.
Yeah, but for me, you know, what I hate doing is just prior to that, it's like my family kept picking restaurants and I was spending close to Morton's money and I hated it. And my wife kept telling me, you know, wait, stop complaining about, you know, the money and the thing is, I don't care about what the money is as long as I like the food, but don't make me spend money on food I don't like. Right? I mean, that's ridiculous. So that was the reason why I picked Morton's, because I knew it was guaranteed I was going to like the food. And sure enough, we did. So, all right, we'll tune in next Thursday and we'll go over there. And it looks like there's a good shot. I'm coming up in April to probably see you over there in Pennsylvania. So I'll give you a heads up before I come up.
I'll be around. Right,
and we'll talk soon. But bye, CEO Arians. It's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Whatever, man.
Peace. God bless.